Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
Welcome to Medically Speaking Radio. This is Dr. Mark Vaughn and
your co-host Larry Finney. And once again, we're not live.
No, but we're not dead either.
No, we're not dead. We are pre-recorded. Yet. We're coming at you from... Yeah. What the heck, man? How many times in a row now we've been pre-recorded?
This is the last one, right?
Yes, this will be the last one for a while. In the meanwhile, we've been to individually and collectively been to San Diego, Las Vegas, Illinois. Where else?
Quite the travel.
All over the place. And this week, man, domestically speaking, the family's working me like a Hebrew slave or something.
That kind of relates to our subject of the day.
What's that?
Domestic violence.
Well, in this case, it's not violence.
Oh, okay.
But yes, we're going to be talking about domestic violence with Dr. Glenn Hofer.
Yeah.
Who's a radiologist. He's on the board of a organization called Peace for Families. And the Peace for Families executive director, Michelle Coleman.
Yes. Both of them.
Both of them will be here in the studio with us.
Very nice people.
Pre-recorded, as it were. Anyway, why am I slaving so hard, Dr. Vaughn? Why am I pouring 400 square feet of cement patio and doing these sorts of things?
And why are we pre-recording next week? And where are we going to be?
So by the time our listeners are listening to this, it is the wedding day of, Marine Corporal James Finney. He would be related to me. He's my son marrying, Madison Lyon. And so it's a big doing.
Did she go to Placer?
She did.
Okay.
Both Placer High graduates.
All right.
So we will say just moments in it. Congrats to both of them. Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations. I'm sorry. I forgot her name.
Madison.
Congratulations, James and Madison.
They named a town in Wisconsin after her.
If they're choosing to listen to K High as they speed off to their honeymoon.
I'm thinking not. But anyway, it's a nice thought. Where were we? Oh, in the news. There have been a number of things in the news. There's one. I don't know. I saw this one headline. About, you know, listeners know I'm a big fan of chocolate, and
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, what did the headline say? Chocolate is
chocolate's bad for you.
It's bad for you. It may lead to depression.
No.
Wasn't it?
It was linked with depression.
Oh, it was linked with depression. In other words, the concept of wallowing, or whatever is that the deal? But look, what do you want? It was an article in the Wall Street Journal. A piece of tabloid trash that no one ever reads. It has no credibility whatsoever.
The study they were talking about, they found that there was a link between depression and chocolate consumption. The real question, though, is it causative of the depression, or are they just linked together? For example, people feeling better when they eat chocolate, and so they were self-medicating, and actually chocolate makes you feel better.
Yeah, but and reduces the risk of stroke and heart attack, and that's all I need to know. So there, especially dark chocolate.
You get real defensive when they come after your chocolate.
Right. Anything that conflicts with my narrow worldview is going to be immediately cast aside as heresy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what else was in the news?
Oh, let's see. Did we have some product recall information?
Oh yeah. McNeil is recalling specific products of children's and infants' Tylenol, Motrin, Zyrtec. I think there was one other in there. And to get the exact product list, you need to go to the McNeil website that has a list of all of the, I believe it's called the NDC number on the product. So if you do have some McNeil brand name Tylenol, Motrin, or Zyrtec, and it has to be a liquid preparation, was there another drug on that list?
Nadril. It's an allergy liquid. Or is it Nadril? I don't know.
Okay.
But again, liquid.
Yeah, it's the brand name stuff. It's a liquid for infants and children. Check the McNeil website to see if yours is on that list.
No, is it the McNeil website or is it the FDA's website?
Well, I went to the FDA.gov website, and then there was a link on the story about it to the McNeil website for the actual recall information.
Okay, so it didn't tell us what kind of bacteria, but go for the solid stuff. Crunch it up. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Stay away from liquid stuff for a while.
And it was just the brand name McNeil from that particular lab.
Right.
Okay. So We do have our guest coming up after the break to speak about domestic violence and about also sexual assault and Peace for Families, which is right here in Placer County to help people out with that. So we'll be back after the break.
The content of this website and the Medically Speaking radio show are meant for entertainment and for general information purposes.
No doctor-patient relationship is attempted or implied through the show or the website.
Any medical advice, home remedies, and all other medical information on this website or radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor.
Do not attempt any treatment mentioned on the website or the show without consulting your doctor.
Always consult your own doctor if you are in any way concerned about your health.
If you need a doctor and live near Placer County, call Jen at 530-886-8630.
If you have a medical emergency, call 911.
Medically Speaking Radio, Dr. Mark Vaughn, Auburn Medical Group, K-High Radio, and or our sponsors are not responsible for any diagnosis or treatment made by anyone based on any of the content of this website or the Medically Speaking Radio show.
In addition, the views and opinions expressed on the show or on linked websites are not necessarily those of Dr. Mark Vaughn,
K-High Radio, the Auburn Medical Group, Incorporated, or any of the show sponsors.
Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
Larry, have you ever been to Auburn Drug Company?
Yeah, that's the one with the marble soda fountain at 815 Lincoln Way.
Yeah, right there in front they have the marble fountain, and in back is an independently owned pharmacy right here in Auburn.
And that thing has been around for a long time.
Since the 1800s. They are so great because they actually fill your prescriptions when you ask them to, unlike the chain drug stores that make you wait.
You know, and waiting there wouldn't be a big crime because, heck, you could always go to the soda fountain.
That's Auburn Drug Company at 815 Lincoln Way in downtown Auburn. Give them a call at 885-6524.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Welcome back from the break. This is Medically Speaking Radio with your hosts, Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney. Larry, are you also back from the break?
I am. I'm officially back from the break. Okay. Tanned, rested, and ready.
And well hydrated now. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We're glad for that. We do have our guests here, Dr. Glenn Hofer, and with him, we also have Michelle Coleman from Peace for Families. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for the invite.
The first thing we'd like to do is let our listeners know, what is Peace for Families? Letting you know that the people we're talking about who are listening are all over the Foothills area, stretching all the way from around Placerville to up past Nevada City. And I believe that you take in both Nevada and Placer County, correct?
Well, no, we primarily take Placer County. Yes.
Primarily Placer County.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us all about it.
Okay, I will tell you all about it.
This is Michelle who's speaking.
Not Dr. Hofer.
That's right.
Exactly. Peace for Families, some people still know us as the Placer Women's Center. We used to be known as the Placer Women's Center, so we are now Peace for Families, and we are the domestic violence and sexual assault agency here in Placer County. We provide services for intervention and prevention for victims of those of sexual assault and domestic violence. The sort of services that we provide, we have a Safe House. I think a lot of people know about the Safe House. So anyone who's in danger can call our crisis line, and we make arrangements for them to safely come into our Safe House where they can stay up to 30 days and work with our case manager, figure out what's good for them, and make plans for their future.
Yeah. Now, where is your Safe House located? That's obviously a...
It's a confidential location. It is located in Placer County.
Good try there, Elmo. Yeah. We keep trying to get this secret out of them.
Sometimes you can catch people snapping.
For our listeners, they need to know that we knew that it was a, I guess we'll call it a secret location.
Right.
And we were trying to get that out of them because it's a secret and we like to get people to give away secrets. But
not that one.
No, it's going to remain confidential. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Although you might want to go into the point for the sake of our listeners, what is the point of a safe house at a secret location?
Okay. Individuals that come into our safe house, the moms and their kids come in because they are in danger, because there's someone in their life who is physically attempting to hurt them, who either has hurt them or has threatened them to the point where they feel like there is really going to be violence that happens. So they will come into the safe house, and the reason it's confidential so that the other individual cannot find them.
Okay. Yeah. And how many people do you have as your guests at the safe house at any given time?
I like that, guests. We can house up to 40 residents, a combination of women and children at any particular time. Depending on the size of the children, if we really were filled up and they were little children, we could probably house a few more.
Okay. And is that about what it's running right now?
You know, it ebbs and flows, and we will have a time where we have 35, and then we'll go down to 8 for a week or so, and then we'll, you know, breathe a sigh of relief, and then the floodgates will open again. There's no real pattern, like it doesn't happen this day or that day. It just ebbs and flows.
I'm kind of curious as to the affiliation with Dr. Hofer, who is a radiologist. What is your connection with this organization, Peace for Families?
Well, I'm one of the longest-serving board members. I'm a supporting actor in this play. The real problem with Peace for Families, as much as anything, is that we're a private organization. We do receive various types of government funding, where we can get funding from, and we'd like to keep our doors open, and it's close. It's a constant battle to provide enough funding to get enough community support, even though the Board of Supervisors and everybody in the area is very supportive. There's not much money around. And I hang around to try to secure enough funding that we can keep our doors open.
So it sounds to me that you would not mind it if some of our listeners who would like to give to this called the number or connected on the internet to do that?
Definitely that's the case.
Okay.
So Michelle can give you the numbers and the information at any time.
Our listeners, if they don't catch the number here while we're saying it, they can go to our website at medicallyspeakingradio.com, and it will be on the show notes when this is broadcast. The number, if somebody wants to write it down now, is, well, that's the crisis line.
The number, if they would like to give money, is 530-823-6224. And we will definitely answer that and graciously accept any donations you'd like to make. I don't know if your listeners know that this past year, the shelter funding was cut 20% when the governor blue-lined the shelter funding for in the state funds. We are now trying to work with the legislators to get that money put back in the budget. But as Dr. Hofer said, it puts us in a very precarious situation. And we're just very thankful that we have board members like Dr. Hofer to get the word out so that the community knows we need their help.
And unfortunately, the shelter for Nevada County is in the process of closing its doors, not having enough funding to go on. So that means that our load's going to increase, and it's going to be that much more important to get funding and keep our doors open.
When you have your guests at the shelter, it's generally women and their children.
Yes.
Up to a certain age, I would guess.
The children can be up to 17 years old.
Okay. Yes. And in addition to shelter, what other services do you have?
Well, we have classes for them, basic self-esteem classes. We have classes on how to develop living skills. I don't know if one of the things that happens oftentimes when a person is in a domestic violence relationship is there's someone who makes them believe they can't do anything and often will give them no responsibility in the household. So basic things like budgeting. You know, how do you budget so that you can have your own apartment? We have to start from scratch with some people and things like that. We talk to them about the job readiness. Another way to control a person is to not allow them to work or to make any money on their own. So there's job readiness, there's the self-esteem, and then we also ask the women to see our therapist to just address the issues that might have brought them into that situation.
So it sounds like there's a lot behind this as far as the situation they're coming out of, some common elements, this keeping someone controlled by limiting what they can or cannot do. Right. What are some of the other common elements, the themes that you see at play in the people who come to live with you?
Well, domestic violence is all about power and control. There may be times where it's not necessarily physical violence, but someone who beats another person down emotionally and mentally to the point where they can't even function on their own is also a domestic violence situation. The individual often doesn't believe that they can do anything right. The children are terrified. One of the things that is very prevalent is when we get little ones coming into the shelter, for the first week or so, it's like they are balled in a knot. They will not, you don't hear them laughing, they won't leave mom's side, and it's almost like their fists are balled up all the time because they don't know what's going to happen next. The trauma that they've experienced is extreme for the children as well as for the mother.
So the programs you have, you mentioned for the mother, mm-hmm. What is it that you have for the children?
We do have child care, but we also have therapy for the children. It's important to, first of all, let the children understand why they're there and to let them process their anger. One of the things, coming from a domestic violence situation, usually the children can't speak their mind either because it's power and control. So you're controlling your spouse, but you're also controlling everyone in the house. It's about you being in charge, the abuser. So the children come in and they don't even believe that they have the right to be angry. They don't know that they have the right to just let that anger out and just be themselves. They don't know that they have a right to laugh. If you're in a household where you're in control, be quiet, and people are walking around on eggshells, afraid that they're going to set off the abuser, going to do something to make them upset. One of the things we teach the women, the first things we teach them, is that there's nothing you can do to keep them from erupting. You can walk on eggshells all the time. You can do everything the way they want, but they are still going to erupt about something.
Now, regarding the demographics of the folks that you serve, I suspect that there are a lot of misconceptions about the type of people who are victims of domestic violence. Is it safe to say that, you know, it runs the gamut, that there is no typical face of a victim?
You're absolutely right. No age, no race, no financial status, no educational status. I mean, though we may not have doctors and lawyers coming into the safe house, I can say to you that we have them receiving our services off-site.
When someone comes in or calls, what is the process that they go through?
When you call the crisis line, I do want to give that number because that's the way you get into the services. That's 800-575-5352. You make the call to the crisis line, and we have trained counselors who, first of all, they just let you vent. One of the first questions we often get is this really domestic violence? So they let you vent and let you talk through it. Figure out what's the best for you. Do you need to come into the safe house or do you need some of our other services? We have therapy and counseling at off-site locations for individuals who don't need to come into the safe house. We have an office in Auburn and we also have an office in Roseville. We have legal advocacy. One of the things that's very important when you're in a dangerous situation is to get a temporary restraining order. And we have people on our staff who are trained to help you fill out that paperwork, hand it in, and get your temporary restraining order. We also, the individuals, oftentimes when you get the temporary restraining orders, you have to go to court, you know, to make your case to the judge. And the abuser is often there. That's a very scary situation. So our advocate, as well as some volunteers, actually go with the victims to the court to process that order.
You know, you raise an interesting question that when some people call, they'll say, well, you know, is this domestic violence or what is domestic violence? we might want to make some distinctions. For example, is corporal punishment of a child, spanking a child, is that domestic violence? Or, you know, I imagine there's a line that's crossed at some point where it does become.
Right. Domestic violence is a pattern of abuse and control in an intimate partner relationship. So if you are married, dating, have an intimate relationship with an individual, that's what the law says is a domestic violence situation. There is violence to the children is more a family violence situation. But children are impacted by domestic violence because even hearing the fighting or hearing the actual punches or blows impacts the way a child's brain continues to develop. There was a recent study that was done on infants where they showed that the infant's brain changed when they were exposed to the violence, the sounds of violence, because they have nowhere to process that. You know, an older child can, you know, put it somewhere in their brain, but an infant has no way to do that.
We're going to take a break here. This is Medically Speaking Radio on AM K-High, AM 950 K-High, the voice of the foothills. We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I want to tell you about my dentist, Rodney Kihara. His office is located right in town at High Street and Auburn Folsom Road. His staff is pleasant. They smile when you walk in, and you know who they are because they're there every time. We're talking about Flo, Cheryl, and Judy. Their pleasant faces welcome you into the office and let you know that you're in the right spot, a comfortable place to go to the dentist. Call Dr. Kihara's office at 888-1966. That's 888-1966.
Few things in life are harder than thinking about serious illness or the death of someone you love. Research confirms that Americans want the basic services that hospice provides. Care at home or in a home-like setting. Treatment that preserves a sense of dignity and respect. Emotional and spiritual support for patients and for their families, and effective pain management. Hospice helps patients and their families deal with end-of-life challenges in a life-affirming, compassionate way that brings dignity, hope, and love to every day of life. This message of love and caring is the focus of hospice care. This message is brought to you by Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice. We can be reached at 886-6650 or click on the link for Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice on the Medically Speaking Radio website.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's Medically Speaking. On K-High, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Welcome back from the break. This is Medically Speaking Radio with your hosts, Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney. We do have our guests representing Peace for Families, Michelle Coleman, who is the executive director, and also Dr. Glenn Hofer. And again, Dr. Hofer, what is your title with Peace for Families?
I'm one of the board members. I'm probably one of the longest lasting board members.
So we have a board member for Peace for Families. Why is a medical doctor involved?
Well, medicine is treating bodies to a certain extent, but inevitably in any kind of medical practice, you run into situations of sexual assault and domestic violence, and doctors are required to report those episodes. But oftentimes people don't come straight forward to presenting their real problems. And we have to have a high index of suspicion, as Mark knows. When we're dealing with patients that have any kind of suspicion about sexual assault or domestic violence, we have to be aware that that's a possibility. Open the doors for patients to talk about their problems.
Yes.
Give them an outlet from the situations they're trapped in, the situations that they have to deal with.
I think time after time when I've had patients who were in a situation of sexual assault, and they do not want it to get out at all. They don't want a report made. They'll change their story when you tell them, hey, if you're telling me such and such, I have to report that. All of a sudden, they'll recant it, and they won't go through with it. Thinking of situations like that, what resources are there to put people in touch with that will help them through that?
From a medical standpoint or from a Peace for Family standpoint?
Either one. When you're sitting there with a person, if you're a doctor with a patient, or if you're a lay person, and you're with someone who is telling you something and you're hearing that there is sexual assault or domestic violence going on, what steps can you take if they aren't willing to participate?
Well, I think the first thing, and probably the most important thing about being a doctor, is just to listen to your patients. Whether I'm a radiologist, but I still talk with patients during the procedures. The most important thing is to listen to the patient, listen to what they're saying, and listen to what they're saying between the lines. A lot of people come in with complaints that are fairly nonspecific, as you know, and it's our job to find out what's really going on behind those nonspecific symptoms, behind those nonspecific complaints. Why are they really seeing us? I mean, we're treating spirits, we're treating psychology, the emotion behind people's lives, not just their bodies. And sometimes in a busy work day, it's easy to forget that. We have to be aware that people might have something else they want to tell us, that they might be reluctant to tell us, but they need to tell us.
And I saw a look in Michelle's face when I was asking that question. Michelle, what was going through your head right then?
What was going through my head is, if anyone in your life has been sexually assaulted, whether they want to report to the police or not, the Peace for Families is a place to refer them. Our 800-575-5352 number, talking to our crisis counselor, we then process them where they need to be. If they do want to report to the police, I don't know if the community knows that, when the police take a report and they take someone to the hospital for an evidentiary exam, a Peace for Families advocate is there to support the victims. They can sit in on the exam if they like, explain to them what's going on, why it's being done, what are the laws, what are their rights as the victim, and where they go from there. So we have Peace for Families advocates, and we will follow them from that point all the way through the process. If they go back to the police department for another interview, if they go to court, we are standing there with them, giving them the support until they get to the point where they can support themselves. So Peace for Families is also sexual assault. We are the Rape Crisis Center for Placer County. I don't know if people know that. Not only do we provide the support once you get into the hospital and you go through the process, but if you decide you never want to tell anyone, you're still going to have that rape trauma that you're working through. Peace for Families will still help you. You don't have to report to the police to seek our services.
I think it's probably time for some definitions again. When we use the term sexual assault, you know, that a lot of things run through people's minds. They get mm-hmm. some image of what they think it is. Mm-hmm. For your purposes, what is sexual assault?
Okay. Sexual assault is any sort of sexually based activity that you have not committed, that you have not accepted.
Consented to.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Against the person's will.
Right. And you don't have to say no. If you don't consent, you don't have to say no. It's always best if you can, but some situations it's not like that. If you didn't consent to a person touching you inappropriately, that's sexual assault. If you didn't consent to someone kissing you or someone just brushing by you, that's sexual assault. Now, rape is actual penetration. But sexual assault is all those things, and all of those things are illegal. You have a right to take care of your own body, and another person does not have a right to violate that.
So when a person is doing an evidentiary exam, you're talking about Peace for Families representing being there in the emergency department with them.
Yes.
What would that be like if a person came in and said, I was assaulted or I was raped? Mm-hmm. Where do you go, and what process do they go through to end up the emergency department, and what goes on after that, and how is Peace for Families involved?
Okay. If you have been assaulted and you want to report, you start with the police department. All the Placer County police law enforcement agencies will then contact us. If it's the sheriff, the Rockland, Roseville, any of the police departments, contact us, and we send an individual to the hospital. And oftentimes, even if you don't ask for an advocate, we will show up there, and then you get a chance. If you don't want us there, we will simply leave, because it's your choice, your decision. There are sometimes people will have significant others in their life that want to come and support, but that's very difficult which is why we also have services for the significant others of people who have been assaulted. When one person in a family has been sexually assaulted, the entire family has been sexually assaulted. It impacts them on many levels. Sometimes it's a couple of years before they even realize that, which is another reason why I would say, reach out to us. It doesn't have to have happened yesterday. You didn't have to report. If you are having reaction to sexual assault in your life, we are the place to go to receive help.
Well, I think to go back to the physician's role, it's a big step for a person to call in the police. Oftentimes there's confusion. Was I really attacked? Was I beaten, or did I deserve it? There are all kinds of societal problems that get in the way of someone taking the big step of reporting a crime of this sort. It's not always that clear-cut. Larry brought up a very good point. There's a certain amount of confusion. There's a certain amount of embarrassment. There's guilt. There are a number of things that maybe when someone comes in to see a physician because they've got aches and pains or headaches, they really want to get beyond. They want to understand their situation and deal effectively with it. And many people don't have the tools for that.
Yeah. I would agree. And oftentimes people are second guessing themselves. Well, I was drinking, or someone says, well, my dress was too short, or whatever. It is never appropriate to have sex with someone who doesn't consent. Period. And if you are not ready to go to the police, if you're not sure you want to, I would again ask you to call the crisis line, the 800-575-5253. Talk to somebody. Talk to them. Work it out with them and get to the point where you decide what you want to do. Our goal is to help you to get to what's best for you and provide you any service that we can so that you can begin to heal.
Do you have any statistics for either domestic violence in Placer County or sexual assault?
I can tell you what we served in 2009. In 2009, we had approximately 620 residents receive approximately 4,000 domestic violence services at our agency. Because generally, when a person comes in for one thing, comes in for therapy, they also have the legal assistance and they have the education. So a lot of the things go together.
So breaking that down, you had 620 individuals.
Yes.
But there were multiple services,
right.
So that's where we get the 4,000.
Yes, okay. Multiple services.
So well over 600 people,
yes,
visiting your...
Right, in 2009. And I will say that just the beginning of this year, it looks like the numbers are going up. I don't know if it's the stressors in the families, the stressors in the community, but the numbers are going up, which is really tough when the money's going down. But we're working very hard, and that's one of the reasons why we really need community support. So... in the last year, 112 families came into the safe house. And that's different configurations. It could be primarily we have moms with children, but occasionally we have individuals who come in who are in danger. And they stayed for over 6,000 nights in the safe house last year.
Well, this might seem silly, but do men ever avail themselves of your services at the safe house? I'm talking about adult males.
Right. We have not had any men who are seeking shelter. We have had men who come and seek therapy for domestic violence, and we really applaud them because that's not easy for a man to do, to come in and say, someone is attacking me. If there were a man who needed our services, we would find alternative housing, but we will find a way to get them safe. It's not that... men are never victims of domestic violence. It's just that the number is predominantly women, which is why the safe house is women. But we will make arrangements for men as well.
Well, and as you pointed out, it's not easy for a man to say, you know, I'm being victimized. You know, they don't want to admit it.
Right.
If I might make one further point, we can only guess how much sexual assault and domestic violence there is in our society. We have a wonderful society overall. But this is an iceberg phenomenon. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. We could guess whether 25% of rapes are reported, whether 10% of domestic violence is reported. Because of societal factors, it's very hard for people to take that courageous step and report things. Many, many, many instances, it's got to be the majority, are not reported, both sexual assault and domestic violence. And again, that's maybe where the doctor's role comes in. If we really take the time to care about our patients, to be thoughtful and listen, we'll hear, and we can help people to deal with things. But there's no way in the world we're dealing with anywhere like half the incidents.
Right. I know that the California Women's Health Survey last year came up with 40% of all women had been assaulted sometime in their life, the survey they did in California. And that's a pretty significant number. And I know we're not seeing that number in our services.
I'm just curious. I'd ask a question of Dr. Vaughn. As someone in family practice, how prevalent or is it in your practice to see this?
It does exist. In our office, we do have patients that have had it. We put them in contact with the right, usually it's through an attorney. It hasn't been necessarily through Peace for Families. It's not a huge percentage, though. When I think of it, I'm thinking of just a handful of patients out of a couple thousand that we've helped over the last 5 years being open here. And I do think that a lot of it you do see coming to more acute care places, like an emergency department or an urgent care, rather than to the family doctor, because oftentimes when they do finally seek help, it's in the heat of an attack having just happened and needing emergency services. But it is there, and I would agree wholeheartedly with Dr. Hofer saying that it's there. It's the doctor's job to go down a deeper layer to what it is that some of the people are coming in for, and finding it and bringing it out.
Well, when children fall off growth curves, when they stop doing well in school, there are a number of signs that there are problems that we have a responsibility to try to uncover.
That's right. Those are the classic signs that we look for, things like domestic violence or for drug use or for any number of other things.
Or even sexual assault in children,
yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And drug use is also medicating something else that's going on in their lives.
They can be going together.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
What we're going to do now is take another break. When we get back, we'll continue our discussion about Peace for Families, which helps with people suffering from domestic violence, also sexual assault. We're speaking with Dr. Glenn Hofer and Michelle Coleman. We'll be back after this.
Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, 12-step recovery program that offers real and lasting change. Contact Sheila Dobbin at 823-9911. That's 823-9911. For a listing of Celebrate Recovery locations, go to CelebrateRecovery.com. We invite you to join us at Parkside as we celebrate recovery.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our practice at the Auburn Medical Group. The physician, nurses, and front desk personnel all approach the patient, asking themselves the question, how would I want to be treated if I was in the patient's shoes? Listen to what one of our patients has to say about her experience at the Auburn Medical Group.
My name is Susie Brown. I just want to sincerely thank that group of people for being there for me in some emergency situations. They are very efficient, their staff, including their receptionist. Even when you call her, she's got sympathy and compassion for you, and when you're ill, that's what you need. The nurse staff is wonderful, and Dr. Vaughn listens to everything you say, and they just get on things. They do not let anything lag.
If you need a doctor, call us at 886-8630 or look at our website at auburnmedicalgroup.com.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Welcome back from the break. This is Medically Speaking Radio on KHI AM 950, the voice of the foothills. We're having a conversation with our guests, Dr. Glenn Hofer and Michelle Coleman, representing Peace for Families, that is a service available in Placer County. And we wanted to get a couple points across here in the last segment. One, if you're able to give to Peace for Families, please do. Michelle's been giving out the numbers, and we do have that on our website under the notes at medicallyspeakingradio.com. And the other one is for people to contact if they do feel like they need the services of Peace for Families. So tell us about that again and emphasize what it is you want the message to be that people get.
If you or anyone in your life is being victimized, please call our crisis line and talk to our counselors. It's a confidential crisis line. No one will know you called us. That number, 800-575-5352.
You know, and for those who might fear that, well, gee, this is going to cost me something, and then that's going to be a factor, and that's going to keep me from calling. What do you have to say to that?
It doesn't cost you anything.
All those services, the counseling and the safe house, all that's free.
Absolutely.
Which is probably why you need funding.
Yes.
Because if the victims and or the those who are being served by this are not having to pay for it, clearly the money has to come from the community.
And Dr. Hofer?
Well, we need as much support as we can get. I'm the president of the Placer Nevada County Medical Society. We need your dollars to stay open, to serve both Placer and Nevada County. We need our doctors to direct people our way. We need the people who are listening to direct their friends, family members, whomever they run into that has a problem, has a question, to come and talk to us. And of course, those people who have some money to spare, we could use the help. And particularly the victims of these crimes, and they are crimes, need your help.
What does it cost to run the program roughly in a year annually?
Generally around $1.2 million.
Okay.
To run all of the programs, yes, about $1.2 million, and we are short of that right now.
And if someone did want to donate, besides calling a number or something, is there an address or who would they make their checks out to? What are the mechanics of all?
They actually could go to our website, and it's www.peaceforfamilies.org, and press the donate now button on the website. Also on the website is all the information of where they would mail any donations to. Also contact. If they wanted to contact us, send us a message, ask a question offline. They can send it to us through our website.
And for the person who, silver or gold, have I not, but has time, is there a way that people can volunteer?
Absolutely. We are looking for volunteers on a lot of different levels. You can do anything from helping in our thrift store, which is on 49, to actually going through our training and provide and being one of those people who support the victims at the hospital.
Where is the thrift store? I don't know where it is.
It's in Pioneer Village.
Okay.
On 49, not too far from the concrete plant.
Yeah, I always get confused. One of those is Pioneer Village and the other one is
Fiddler Green
Plaza. It's one of those.
Right.
Okay.
It's the Pioneer Village, yes. So absolutely, we're looking for volunteers, and I know that that will help us to stretch our money. It's important.
Okay, if I could, volunteers can be everything from high school kids on up.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everybody's affected by these crimes more than we realize.
Could a senior at Placer do it as their senior project?
They certainly could. We need college kids, high school students. This is a problem of society. We have a very good society, but it could be a better society. We need people to educate themselves. We need to educate people. There are a number of misconceptions about roles that we have to deal with. A macho man is not someone who attacks a woman. I mean, and unfortunately, from the media, and I don't want to blame the media for everything because that's all too easy. People in high school and in college need to learn what a healthy relationship is, how to treat others with respect. And we need people to get that message out. I mean, there are any number of roles that volunteers can have to help Peace for Families and help our society to become a better society.
So in addition to the services that you provide directly to victims, you mentioned an educational aspect of it. Does your agency organization as well do public or community education? And if so, how does that How does that manifest itself?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a training and education coordinator, and one of our strategies of prevention, we want to work ourselves out of a job. We want to teach people how to have healthy relationships and have the self-esteem to say yes and no when they want to. And so we start at the junior high and high school level. We have healthy relationship classes and teaching them strategies to identify. So this guy is calling me every 3 minutes. Is it because he loves me or is he trying to control me?
Are you able to go into the schools themselves?
We are. Not all schools. We are working to get all schools. They are inviting those who are inviting us in. And if we can't get into the schools, we talk to Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. We'll talk to social groups. We'll talk to anyone who wants to learn about how to do healthy relationships, because it's not just teenagers. That violence is an intergenerational thing. If you grew up in a family where that's how the system works, one person controls everyone else, and then when you start having your relationships, what do you think you're going to model?
Do you have any presentations that are coming up soon that you may want to let our listeners know about?
We generally, they're scheduled in the schools. I know we're going to be doing it in Chana very soon, and there are several more. And if anyone is in the school system, I know we're getting close to the end of the school year, but if they are looking for someone to present in a health class, a history class, whatever kind of class, give us a call at the 530-823-6224, and we will see what we can work out for you. It's crucial for us. We want to put a lot of energy into prevention this year.
When you talk about what you offer, I'm thinking of another organization in the community that has either some overlap or some similar services. That would be Acres of Hope. How do you differ from them? Or what is the relationship you have with them?
I think that we don't have a real strong relationship with them. What I know about them right now is that they're relatively new, and we definitely talk to each other, and we'll see what happens in the future. All the people doing this kind of work, we work with homeless shelters, Lazarus Project and all of the others doing this, Salvation Army, because one of the things that we also found is that over 30% of the women who are actually homeless in the community are homeless because of a domestic violence episode that put them out of their home. So there's a crossover with a lot of the challenges that the people in our community are having right now. And we believe at Peace for Family that collaboration is the way to do it. No one group can do it all by themselves, but no one group can do everything. So we specialize in what we do, and we then offer our assistance to others who specialize in other things. We have a partnership with Sierra Council on Alcohol Abuse, where some of our women identify that they have substance abuse issues, and they are allowed to stay in our safe house for 6 extra months to work that program so that they can leave sober and move forward.
Do you have people that in your program who have problems with the law, who have to leave the house because of needing to serve a sentence, or come right into it after being released?
Yes, absolutely. It because you have a legal problem, and depending on the level, of course, does not say you can't receive our services. We are there to keep you safe. One thing I didn't mention, I do want to mention quickly, was that after the safe house, we also have a transitional housing program for individuals who have successfully gone through the safe house program. They want to begin to start their lives. They now are working to figure out what it looks like to budget and have a job and maintain their life and their children. So for a year, they're in our transitional housing program, where they meet with our case manager once a week. They meet with our therapist once a week, and we helped, you know, to give them that safety net while they're trying their wings again and just reestablishing themselves as viable members of our community.
We've talked a lot about the victim of the domestic violence. Mm-hmm. The aggressor, do you have services for them, or do you point them to a particular place to get help?
We do have connections with some agencies in the community. One is Men Alive. We give them three options. We do know about places where they have services for the abuser, and we give them three options, and they get to decide. We don't like to say, well, you have to go here, we have to go there. But we definitely believe we are not here to break up families. We are here to give people the support they need, give them the services they need, the strategies they need. Once they get that help, then they make decisions about their families.
And the ideal might be to eliminate the aggressors before they have a problem. That's where education comes in, where the schools come in. If we could have our friends in college who need projects to do, they could go to the high schools and they could explain to high school students what an appropriate role is in a relationship. If we have fewer acts of domestic violence and sexual assault, that we'd be doing our jobs.
You know, I really like that you said that, and I want to make very clear we're talking about men as well. This is not a woman's problem. This is all of our problem, and the solution is going to come from all of us. The young men in college who want to make a difference in life, come and talk to young men. Young men talking to other young men work much better than a woman telling them.
Michelle, I was wondering if you ever hear back from some of the people you've served, you know, success stories, or somebody writes to you and say, well, I'm in a better place now.
Right. Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, in our transitional housing program, just this last month, there's a certain income level that you have to be at in order to be in the program. Two of our women completed courses of studies and got jobs that put them out of the level. So they had to graduate because they are now better able to support themselves and their families. One of our women left the safe house and got a scholarship to finish her college degree. I mean, again, it's not one type of person that needs our help. So success looks different. Success might just be a person who says, I will not let another person control me again. That is success, and mean it, and then go living their lives that way.
Well, I don't know if Michelle knows this, but one of our board members many years ago was one of our clients. Oh. And that speaks for the success of the program.
What direction do you see the program going in the future, ways to expand it if the funding were available, or projects that you're just now in the infancy of?
Well, we want to serve as many people as need the help, not just the people that are reporting. These are big problems. They're societal problems. We'd like them to be solved over time. It's a tall order, but if we could do that, we'd all be a lot better off.
Right. And we also want to really expand and get, and we're working on a program now for our elder clients. One of the things the DA is telling me that domestic violence in the elder population is exploding. And, we want to create curriculum that better addresses their needs. So that is something we're talking about doing in the very near future.
Exploding, and that there's actually an increase in it?
Yes,
or increased
absolutely.
Reporting?
Probably both. The one thing about education is good because when you do a good job at education, there's more reporting. So is it more happening more? We don't know. Or is it reported more?
Back to definitions. Are we actually talking about domestic violence between, say, elderly partners? Or are we talking about elder abuse?
No, we're not talking elder abuse. We're talking about domestic violence between partners.
Okay. Yes. Wow. What, who knew?
Whacking someone with their cane or their walker?
Or something.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, I really don't want to end the show on that note.
if there's any last words that Michelle and Dr. Hofer would like to leave our listeners with, if there's... I mean, I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, wow, I wish I'd said that.
Our listeners can't see them going back and forth. No, you say it. No,
well, I'm just a supporting actor in this play. Michelle's the director. She's doing a wonderful job. We're very fortunate to have her directing our organization. I'm here to ask people for money and support.
And I'm here to make sure they know we are here to support them. 1-800-575-5352.
And again, the website?
www.peaceforfamilies.org.
And if you missed that, you can always check the show's website, medicallyspeakingradio.com. Look under the show notes. This does bring us to the end of another show. We thank you for joining us. Thank you, Michelle and Dr. Hofer, for joining us.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
We hope to have you again in the future. Let us know if something comes up that is new, and we'll get you back on. We want to remind our listeners, if you ever miss a show, you can always find us on iTunes. It's Medically Speaking Radio. And if you do use iTunes, if you're listening to this on a podcast, please do rate us on iTunes. That helps us out. Also, you can look at some past episodes when we were in the studio. And we actually had the video going, and that's on ustream.com, or you can find it through our website. And we will be doing that again.
We're going to be back to being live soon.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks, we'll be on the air again. So be excited. Have your calls ready to call in to the show in 2 weeks. Until that time, and next week when we have another pre-recorded show, this is Dr. Vaughn, Larry Finney, and this week, Dr. Hofer and Michelle, telling all our listeners to stay in good health.